morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to our telecast of this morning's service. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have a very special service planned for you today. It is Holy Ghost Sunday, and we've got a special speaker, Sister Vicki Vernon, that we believe is going to bless you wherever you're at. You can get the Holy Ghost wherever you are at and you're watching this service. So we're going to start off with one song here. We're going to have some announcements. And then a couple more songs. So we ask you to worship with us as we sing.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I found.
Virtual Calvary Gospel Church. Good to be in the house of God. I trust that you are worshiping along with us, that we are joined together in one voice in God's presence. He's not limited to these walls where we are or the room where you are, but he is everywhere all the time. So we are grateful to be in his presence with you at this time. We know that God is working and that God is moving. If you allow him to minister to you where you are, you can be changed today. Your life can begin anew. Praise God. If you're a guest of ours, we want you to know that it's possible to get in touch with us, to connect with us online. You can connect online at bit.ly/CGCguest. Please, or you can drop by sometime here at the church when we're in open mode again, and we'll be glad to meet with you. Be glad to answer any questions. If you do have questions, if you do have any needs, please feel free to contact us online or even call the church and leave a message. The office is closed at this time for the same reason that we're having virtual services, but we still want to be available for those who have needs. Remember our giving options. If you're worshiping with us, you can visit cgcmadison.org/giving. Or you can send in your offering in the mail, snail mail, 5301 Commercial Avenue, 53704. Or you can text to give at 608-719-3883 and designate in your offering, tithes, mission, or offering as you wish. We're grateful that you're with us this morning, and we're believing that God's going to do a great work. Please remember that we will be having virtual services through Sunday, November 8th. That's next Sunday. At that time, we will have made a determination if we're going to continue to have service virtually or if we're going to open the doors again. Please remember in prayer those that are not feeling well, many of which do have COVID-19. Pray for our pastors, Pastor Roy Grant, Sister Lois. Pray for Pastor Phil and his family. We have heard that our brother Blake George hopefully will be released today from the hospital. Sister Dina Shepherd, there are a number of others, all of whom I don't remember at the moment. But please pray for these brothers and sisters that God will work in their lives and their touch their bodies, heal them, recover them. In Jesus' name. Let's pray right now for this service and remember these in prayer as well. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We know, O God, that you are the Lord of every circumstance, of every situation. I don't oftentimes I do not understand completely how you are working in such terrible circumstances, but I know, O God, that you are faithful and that you will do the things that you have promised. We're grateful, Lord, for your presence even now as we reach out to you in prayer. We pray for your anointing upon this service, upon these that are ministering here in song, and for Sister Vernon and her ministry here today, that the power of God will be manifest even through the internet, even in homes, even in hearts and minds around the world, if it be your will, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together here in this place that are laboring here. We ask for your blessing upon those that are serving here in the building. But we also pray, God, for those brothers and sisters of ours who are ill today, who are sick, who are battling this virus. Lord, I pray for our pastors, for Sister Dina, for Brother Blake. I pray, oh God, for the many others that are struggling with this. Here, even in Dane County, oh God, anoint your people. Let us be used of you, oh God, to bring comfort, to bring strength, to bring healing by your touch, oh God, in the lives of others, that the church may be a light, that the church may be a strength to a world that is struggling and confused right now. I pray, God, let the power of God flow through our mouths and through our hands and through our feet and through our lives, oh God, so that when we come in contact with people, there's a blessing, there's an anointing that flows from us, from your throne. We pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord again.
The world to know that you are God. With a passion burning deep within, I want the world to know that you live. Let your presence come and saturate every part of me. Make me new. Let your spirit come and move within. Fill me once again, 'cause I need more. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you, Lord, you are all I want. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. And Jesus, I'm longing for you, Lord, you.
Come like a flood.
Lord for a moment. Go ahead and lift up your hands where you are, if you will. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. One thing I failed to mention earlier, all church prayer was scheduled for this Friday. We will, of course, due to the limitations we have placed on ourselves, we will not be having all church Friday here. So doesn't mean that we shouldn't set that time aside for prayer. And I would encourage us all to do that. Praise God. Our speaker this morning is can really be called an international evangelist. That's no exaggeration. She has ministered all around the United States and in different parts of the world. Where she goes and ministers, people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The ministry of the Spirit is evident. And she has been doing virtual services this year, so they're nothing new to her. And she may or may not have the report of the many souls who have already been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost as a result of virtual services. So if you are seeking God this morning, I want to encourage you to be open to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit right where you are, and you'll know when it happens. You'll hear yourself speaking in a language you never knew. God is working, and God is using Vicki Vernon, and we are grateful that she is our minister, our preacher, on Holy Ghost Sundays. Sister Vicki Vernon.
Praise the Lord, church. Church at home. This is, I believe, 24 years to come for Holy Ghost Sunday. This is a different Holy Ghost Sunday. But just because your bodies are not here doesn't mean that the Lord cannot move right where you are, and you can be filled, refilled, your children can be filled with the Holy Ghost in your home. But part of that is creating an atmosphere for Jesus to move, and the music team has done that so well today, and the presence of the Lord is here. I feel Him so strong, and I'm so hungry for a move of His Spirit. And I'm really excited about what the Lord's given for me for you today. Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, I love you. I've been praying for you. Love our bishop and his wife, this pastoral team. What a great group of people we're a part of. We need to be so very thankful. I'm so thankful that God moved me to Wisconsin almost 4.5 years ago now. And this is my home. So I'm at home today. And I'm just going to be real honest. What I'm giving you today is a brand new message. And no matter how long you do this, I've been traveling full time for 30 years. I've been in 36 churches this year. This is my 14th virtual service. I never get used to it. I don't think we're supposed to get to where we're used to it, because then flesh can get in the way so easy. But I feel the responsibility of this today as I endeavor to give you what God has given me. Pastor Seidel, thank you for your kind words. I submit myself to you today, our pastor, my precious husband. I'm under their covering today as I minister. Will you turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah? We're reading in chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. This is a vision that Zerubbabel received. The Lord led me to this on Holy Ghost Sunday. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl on top of it. and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, and one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. He answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Today, for your hearing, God has given me this message entitled, What Moves You? What moves you? And I have an illustration of a claw machine. And the claw that moves the animals, the candy, the treats, the prizes, over to the opening where we can win. It is amazing that this man Zerubbabel had this vision as if he were wakened up out of a sleep. He was in a time where he felt weak, and he wouldn't feel weak right now. We're in this COVID disaster. And perhaps there are days you feel full of fear and you feel weak. He was feeling weak. The church is the candlestick set up to be a light in the dark world. The vision was given to him and he is trying to perceive what it meant. The olive trees that flowed into the bowl without ceasing represents today on Holy Ghost Sunday the Holy Spirit. The vision was to assure the prophet that the work of building the temple, or for us winning our world, seems like a mountain, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. The Holy Spirit moves. We talk about it moving. He moved in my heart. He's moving upon me. He's moving in the service. But do we really understand what that means today? In Genesis, the Spirit of God, when the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved. It moved on the face of the waters. It hovered, is the translation there. It moved. In Genesis 8 and 1, God moved throughout the earth, causing the flood waters to subside. After Noah's day and the flood was given and the end of that dispensation, then what happened? God moved again. The Spirit of God moved those flood waters, so dry land appeared. Exodus 14, 21, God moved the sea with a strong east wind all night and made the sea to become dry ground, and the waters were parted for Moses and the children of Israel. He moved on those waters. You see, God doesn't stand still. He moves. Men were moved. They were anointed and moved on by the Spirit to write the Word of God, the very Word of God that you and I possess. It was the Spirit that moved on them to write these words. They knew what to write because the Spirit was active. It was moving. We often don't think about that Spirit moving in the Old Testament, but it did. It was the Spirit of God moving on men, moving on waters, moving right into the New Testament. When the Spirit, like our mighty rushing wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. What was that? That was the moving of the Spirit. They felt something. They knew it was there. We're not supposed to have church without feeling something. You're not supposed to be at home eating your cereal and watching church. You should be feeling something. Why? Because the Spirit moves. I'm hungry for a move of God in this last hour. I want to see Him move in every service. But it's really up to you and I to first acknowledge that God doesn't stand still. He moves. And even when you can't see it, He's moving. He's working. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, as the Spirit moved in their heart and filled them. What a wonderful thing to see how God moved in the Old Testament. But how much greater to see Him now in this day and age moving because He lives inside of us. We forget that the day you received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that did all of those things in the Old Testament actually lives inside of you. We don't have anything to fear because He lives inside of us. He's moving. He's working. He's working for our good. We are the bride. We are the church. He's coming back to get us, and He's moving on our behalf. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as living waters. Living waters are not a pond, a puddle, a swamp. Living waters are a river that keeps moving. It never stops. It's moving and moving and moving. It never ends. It flows and flows and flows. And that's the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives. That's why the Bible refers to it as living waters. It moves. So may I ask you today, is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? If it's not, today's your day to receive it. Sitting right in your home. If your children don't have the Holy Ghost, do not be passive about it. Approach them today that when I close this message, I'm going to lead them through the four steps of worship, and the Holy Ghost is going to move in the living room. All you need to do is have faith, believe. He'll do it. He'll refill them. They all need to be refilled. We all need to be refilled. The Spirit came into that upper room. It's been moving ever since. But if it is living inside of you today, then let it move you. What does that look like? What does that mean? We all talk about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. What that means is being moved by the Spirit of God. Move on you when you pray. When you pray, don't just pray in English. You'll run out of words to say. But you can step right into your tongues and pray and talk in tongues, and the Spirit will begin to move on your behalf. Things will happen. The Spirit knows how it ought to pray. It's not by our might, by our power. It's by the Spirit moving through us. So many examples today that come to mind, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to remind you that if you will pray, He will move. He'll move in a big way. Sometimes we don't know what He's doing. We go into our tongue language and we pray in tongues and we intercede. And we should be doing this at home. And we don't always know what God is doing. It may be something on a foreign field somewhere. We don't know what He's doing. But if you will do it, God will move. I was having a prayer meeting in my home and there were several young couples there. And we were praying and interceding many nights during the week. Night after night coming together. It was the summer and the front door was open, just the screen closed, and we were in this little formal living room, and we would start out with our needs and making the needs known and praise and worship, and then we would go into the Spirit and we would start speaking with tongues. And I remember so well my tongue language developed during that time. All of a sudden I wasn't just speaking baby talk in tongues anymore, but God added words to it and new languages came. And because the Spirit moves, it never stops. We were praying. And we went into a deep place of travail and intercession. And all of a sudden, a young man that was praying in the living room jumped up and he said, "I feel the Spirit moving on me to go to my car and get something." He walked out to the car and he came back with a ball cap. I thought, well, that is really odd. You see, when you start operating in the Spirit, you're going to do some strange things. He said, "I feel like I need to lay on this ball cap and we need to continue to intercede now for this young man. He left it in my car. He's a new convert and we need to pray for him right now." And so we, out of obedience, we just started praying for him. And I'm telling you, the Spirit moved in that living room. We began to grieve in the Spirit. It wasn't a pretty sound. We're so wanting everything to be pretty and our schedule to be just right, and we want to come to church and have pretty church. And I think the Lord is trying to shake us in this last hour and let us know, if you'll just let me move and throw your schedule out once in a while, I'll do the miraculous. Hallelujah. That night we just let God move. It wasn't pretty. There were groanings coming from all of us, and we were interceding in the Spirit. The church has lost intercession. All of a sudden, a hush fell over that room. Why? Because the Spirit was leading it. He was moving. All of a sudden, a hush fell, and we heard the screeching of brakes in the driveway, and that young man walked in the front door. He pushed the screen open. I'll never forget it. He stood there in the living room, and he said, "Oh, I knew I would find you here." He said, "I've been sitting down at the park for the last 45 minutes with a shotgun laying on the front seat loaded." He said, "At one point, I put the barrel in my mouth." He said, "But I felt the prayers. I knew you were praying." That boy was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that living room, delivered of his addictions. Why? Because the Spirit moves. It doesn't sit still. But you and I have to learn to move with it. We're only here for a short time. We're pilgrims on this earth. We don't belong here. Jesus is getting ready to come. And he's coming back for people who know him. People who are willing to move in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I hate to think about the call we would have received if someone had not been obedient. Moving in the Spirit. I have sort of a little embarrassing story, but I felt like the Lord, as much as I try to forget it, brought it to my mind. I was just young, learning my way in the ministry, and very humbled to even be called by God. I never really wanted it. I didn't want the pulpit. I was happy to do what I was doing. I found myself sitting on the platform in Columbus, Ohio, with a great reverend, a great preacher of the faith, Bill Sisko. I had been invited that weekend to do a Sunday school seminar for the teachers and to minister to their children. And then Sunday night, I was on the platform. It was not uncommon for Brother Sisko to say, "We're going to let the Lord orchestrate this service. We have our paper and we have our schedule, but this doesn't mean this is what we're going to do, because Jesus is going to sweep through here and we want him to have his way." He said, "There are three visiting ministers tonight, plus Sister Vicky. Four visiting ministers." He said, "I don't know which one of you has the message. So what I'm going to do is let the Lord lead me as to who to bring to the pulpit. And you take 3 minutes, and if the anointing hits you, you go ahead and minister. We'll know it was you." I had never heard anything like that before in my life. I wanted the Lord to come and take me right then. Well, I felt assured, it's not going to be me. There are all these other preachers on this platform. It will not be me. I am sitting there with not a thought in my head as to what to say. I don't even believe it's going to get to me. The anointing is going to hit one of those men. When he called me to the pulpit, and I stood in the pulpit, the anointing, the Holy Ghost moved. I mean, it moved. I got one sentence out of my mouth. Some of you need to just kick off your shoes and let the Holy Ghost move tonight. And when I did, the most embarrassing thing happened. I stepped around the side of the pulpit and I kicked my red spike high heels off into the congregation. They went flying. I glanced at my poor little old mother who was sitting there, who was horrified. I was horrified myself, because they just flew off before I knew what happened. But when those shoes went flying through the air, something happened in the spirit world, and the Lord took over. And I'm talking to the church, the end time church. We have never been like everybody else. We don't have church like everybody else. We let the Spirit move. And when we get back together here, and we will, it's time for us to come in with a different mindset, that the Holy Ghost needs to move every service. There were devils cast out that night. There were grown men laid out in the aisles. The Holy Ghost fell all over that building. The Holy Ghost preached the message. We got to move when the Spirit says move. Old spiritual song that came to mind. moving. They've teased me through the years about the red high heels flying, but no one could deny what God did. And if I have to be a fool for Christ's sake, I'm willing, but I want to move. Every time we come together, I want to feel Him move. I want Him to have His way. I stepped into a church one night. There were about 600 or 700 people there. I came to the front and sat down on the front row. I was ministering that evening. And someone came just as church was starting and said, "You have a phone call in the office." My first thought was, "Is it an emergency?" I asked who it was, and they told me it was a minister, a friend of mine, a man that I had ministered for in his church before. But my thought was, he can't really bother me right now. I'm getting ready to minister. I'm going into church. I'll call him later. But the Spirit moved me. I got up and I went down that aisle and I went into the office. They led me to the phone. And when I answered that call, the man moves in the Spirit. And he said, "Sister Vicki, the Lord told me to tell you something. I tracked you down. This is so important. Because tonight in that service, there are many that are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you need to be aware that the enemy has sent a plant, someone who is planted there to cause confusion and distraction. And God's going to show you what to do, but you need to be aware." The moving of the Spirit. I said, "All right." I didn't know what was going to happen. He said, "Let me pray for you." He prayed for me over the phone in that office, and I felt a presence move in beside me. And he said, "The Lord has sent a big angel, a warrior angel, that's going to walk in that service with you. And don't feel any fear, because the Holy Ghost is going to move tonight." And this was all new for me. And, I've waited until I'm 59 years old almost to tell these stories, because I've been intimidated through the years. Well, people think, you're just a little nutty. I'm not intimidated anymore. I want to walk in the Spirit. I walked in that side aisle, and when I walked up the side aisle, there's a man that moves in the Spirit, that operates in the Spirit, that intercedes, and that man turned around. I had to tap him to kind of come around him, and when he turned around, he looked at me, and he went straight up like this and passed out in the floor, slain in the Spirit. I walked onto the front and sat down, and when they had me come and I delivered the word of the Lord, I felt such unction and anointing, and I delivered the word and I gave the altar call. There were 36 people lined up ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, men, women, and children. I led through the four steps of worship. I asked the altar workers to come and be ready. The Holy Ghost was just getting ready to fall. And all of a sudden, when I gave the word of faith, I look and there are no altar workers. There is a group over here, and they're all circled around one person, and there's something going on in a huddle over here. Here's all these people seeking the Holy Ghost. I walked over to the huddle, and here is a man who is just blabbering out of his head. He's just eyes rolled back, and he said, I'm a blasphemer, and I need you to help me, and I need you to pray for me, because I'm a blasphemer and I don't know if the Lord will forgive me. And it was very evident he was devil possessed. The Lord reminded me, because he's moving now. He reminded me, the big angel standing behind me. I said, "In the name of Jesus, confusion and distraction, you have no place here. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Be as if you are dead." I don't know why I said that. You don't want to kill anybody. Kind of scared me, because he fell out in the floor as if he were dead. I could still see him breathing. I said, "Altar workers, come and get in the altar. We have 36 people up here ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is confusion here. A little old man that operates in the Spirit." You're never too old to operate in the Spirit. In his 80s, came toddling up that aisle. He said, "Sister Vicki, don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to stand right here and not let anybody get near him and not let him up." The Lord sent a bodyguard. All 36 people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. The Spirit was moving, and the Spirit will move, and He'll move through you, and He will move, remove the distractions and the confusion, and He'll send angels. We need to operate in the Spirit. We need to understand that He still works like that today, and we need to hunger for it. That's all it takes, is for us to get hungry. I want to operate in the Spirit. I want Him to move. After church, I went up that aisle, and the man that was slain in the Spirit said, when you walked in that back door, Sister Vicki, there was an angel that his head extended through the ceiling of this church. My eyes could not even stand to look at it, and I was slain in the aisle when I saw that big angel. I'm talking about what we can have, not just me, not just you, but all of us can have this. Why? Because we have the Holy Ghost. It lives inside of us, and it's moving at all times. On our behalf. Move when you're in trouble. Paul and Silas didn't sit down and whine. They kept praising and singing while they were in prison. And what happened? God moved. Hallelujah. When you're in trouble, just keep moving in the Spirit. Move when you don't understand what's going on. God, what are you doing here? I don't understand, but I'm going to just accept it as your will, because I trust you, and I'm going to just keep moving in the Spirit. He'll ask you to do things that you won't understand. I have two brothers, half-brothers. My father was married before, and his first wife passed away. So when he married my mother, he had two sons. They never lived in the home with us. They were older. But I would hear my dad in the bedroom at night in his prayer time calling out the names of all of us and of his boys. Neither one of them were saved. He never missed a night. He had told them the plan of salvation, and he had made it clear what it took to make it. But they didn't want it. When Dad was on his deathbed, I was 25 years old, and Dad said, promise me that you will keep in contact with my boys, that you will be there when they're ready to receive the Holy Ghost, when they're ready to be baptized, that you won't forget. I said, I promise, Daddy. My brother Bob was a very wicked man. He got more increasingly wicked, because sin will take you farther than you thought you'd go. He had a good job, and he was fired and charges pressed for stealing money, embezzling. He divorced his wife of many years. He was a drunk. He was doing drugs, trying to fill the void that only the Holy Spirit can fill. I would meet him once a month for lunch, sometimes twice. But as he got more sinful, it became increasingly harder because of the evil that would come out of his mouth. He made fun of me, and he would tell me of his exploits and things that he had done, and he wasn't ashamed, and it was a horrible time to even meet him. I fell on my face one day when I came home. I said, Lord, do you want me to continue to expose myself to this? Because I will, if it's what you want. Asking the Lord what you should do about any given situation. He wants to move. He'll speak to you. He'll show you. The Lord said, no, let me deal with him. I didn't call him, and he didn't call me. It's funny how fast time passes. It was 3 years later when I am ministering out of town, and I get a call from his daughter. Dad is on his deathbed. I thought you would want to know. I said, of course I want to know. Is he asking for me? She said, no, I just called you. The Lord said, don't go. I'm wondering how in the world I cannot go. He's on his deathbed, but the Lord is moving. The Holy Ghost is moving. The Lord said, don't go until he calls for you. So I'm listening. I'm obeying. And of course, my flesh wants to just go and dive right in, but timing is everything, and the Holy Spirit will lead us in the perfect timing. I finally get the call. He's crying and weeping, and he said, I need you to come and see me. And I said, I will. My plane lands Monday, and I'll come directly to your apartment when the plane lands. And I did. And when I walked in that room, I felt the spirit of death. The stench was there. The cancer, the eating away of the flesh. He was in such bad shape. And when I approached the bed, I noticed a Bible laying open under the bed on the floor. He said, the denominational pastor came by. He told me if I would just open the Bible and put it under the bed that, you know, I would feel peace. I said, do you feel peace? He said, no, I feel pain. I said, because you need the moving of the Spirit, Bob. You need a real God to walk into your life. He began to weep. He said, Vicki, I'm going to hell. When I die, I'm going straight to hell. I need you to help me. I said, this is easy. This is an easy thing for God to do. I led him through repentance, through baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the moving of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want that. If it's not too late, I want that. I'm telling somebody today, it's not too late. It's never too late as long as there's breath in your body. He repented of his sins. We drug him to the bathtub. He couldn't really walk. Got him down in that water and took him down in the name of Jesus. And he came up out of that water speaking with other tongues as the Spirit moved in. His old bony arms shaking under the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, he had gangrene in his legs. They were wrapped like mummies all the way above his knees. He had called his hospice nurse. She said, you can't be baptized because you can't get that wet. I'm not there to redress it. You can't. I had to talk to him about what was most important. What are you waiting for? Jesus is coming. All your excuses won't matter when the sky split open. In just my zeal and perhaps the moving of the Spirit, I said, I'll dress your legs. I'm not a nurse, but I can figure it out. I will do it. His daughters were there. I figured they could help me. And when it came time, I got him back in the chairs, and those in the chair and those legs were dripping wet and all those bandages. And they brought me some boxes and salves and things and set them up, and they left. They knew what I was in for. I'm not a nurse. I got down at his feet. He was still shaking and talking in tongues. I began to take off those bandages, and without being too graphic today, but to paint the picture of the flesh falling off. I never seen anything like that in my life, the gangrene. To me, it was symbolic of the sin of his life manifested in his flesh. I'm gagging. I'm trying not to gag. I'm trying to just be adult about this, but the stench was awful, and I'm working there, and all of a sudden the Spirit moves. I feel where my help comes from. All of a sudden the anointing hit me, and I began to bandage and salve those legs in the name of Jesus. I say to this body, obey your maker. Your legs be whole in the name of Jesus. I curse this gangrene at its root. You dry up and go in the name of Jesus. I mean, even as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, what are you doing? But you see, when the Spirit moves, we've got to yield. What's the Lord saying to you today? If you'll yield, there will be results, because he's a moving God. Hallelujah. I got him all bandaged up and up in the chair, and I said, I'll come back to see you in a few days, and I did. And when I walked in the apartment, he told me, just come on in. I called him first, and he said, just walk on in. When you come, there's nobody to let you in. It's unlocked. And when I opened the door and walked in, I started to back out. I thought I had the wrong apartment, because the gospel music was playing. The stench was gone. The room was filled with the Spirit. There was even new furniture. He said, how many people do you know on hospice buy new furniture? He said, I thought I'll just go out of here in style. I've wasted my whole life. He said, guess what? I made amends with my ex-wife, with Dolores. She's coming over to see me, and I've made amends with her. I've called people and asked them to forgive me. God gave him a chance. Why? Because the Spirit cares about us. The Spirit of God that moves. We had a great time. He sat there, and we drank coffee together and reminisced. And it was a couple of weeks later when I had the tickets for flying overseas, laying on the kitchen table. I was leaving the next morning when I got the call. If you want to see Dad, come to the hospital because his breathing is labored and they say it won't be very long. I walked in that room knowing I was saying goodbye. Oh, people have found fault with me through the years. I've missed funerals. I've missed weddings. My poor children have never had a birthday, hardly on their birthday. But we celebrated big when we did. Because they learned that when we walk with the Lord, we must be about our Father's business. We got to move when the Spirit says move. I was telling him goodbye. I said, Bob, you're going to see Jesus before me. I'm kind of jealous. And you're going to see Daddy. But Daddy, no, I'm coming. We laughed. We talked. Breathing was very labored. There wasn't a dry eye in the room because the children and grandchildren standing around the bed. My dad had picked them up for Sunday school when they were kids. And all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name at one point or another. So what a beautiful thing for the Spirit to move in that hospital room on his deathbed. So I was getting ready to leave. I said, Bob, I won't see you again until we get on the other side. But I want to remind you that when you get over there, you're going to have new legs and you're going to be running on streets of gold with new legs, with a new body. There won't be any more pain. And I was just reassuring him of what's getting ready to happen. There's nothing to fear here. He said, oh, I'm so glad you said that. I almost forgot. He threw those sheets back. He had on short pants and his legs were as pink as a baby's. He said, the doctors say they can't figure out what happened here, that they had never seen gangrene heal. There's not even an ulcer. But that day when I got the Holy Ghost, you prayed for me and the Spirit moved on me and I got a healing. And there wasn't a dry eye in the room. They were all weeping because the Spirit moved in the midnight hour. That's what we serve. God that moves. What do you need him to do today? There's nothing too hard for God, but we got to get in line with the Spirit. What's he saying to the church in this last hour? He's saying, get it together, church. I'm coming. Read the word, fast and pray. Get into intercessory prayer when you come back together. Quit worrying about what's going on in the world and have church and let me move. I saw Jesus move in a church in Myrtle Beach a couple, 3 weeks ago now. There weren't any masks, maybe two, 150 people maybe. The power of God moved. Pastor said, you know what? We already had the COVID sweep through here and most everybody's had it. Now we're just having church. Oh, it gave me hope. It was like stepping back in time. Don't forget what it's supposed to be like. Don't accept this is going to be the normal. That's what the devil wants. But when we get back in here again, let's act like we're glad about it. And let's shout and run the aisles and talk in tongues. Let the anointing come on the musicians and the singers. Let the anointing come on every preacher and every saint. And let's have a move of God. We saw Jesus fill 26 men, women, and children with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It was as if COVID never existed. I'm hungry for that. God wants to give us that. But do we want it? We have to want it. I want to move in the Spirit. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more. It's been prophesied they'd be lined up to be baptized in this tank up here. It's been prophesied they'd be lined up these aisles coming to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are we just going to say, oh, well, that was something else, that, you know, or are we going to embrace that and pray? God, remember what you told us, what you told our pastor? We're reminding you, Lord, because we're ready to have church. Let us get back in here and have church where those people can come lined up. The world is getting hungry. They're finding out it's not in the politics. Quit worrying about which way this is going to go this week. Because God's orchestrating it all. The Spirit is moving in it. We're just players right now. We don't have anything to do but our civic duty and then let it fall where it falls. Quit getting wrapped up in it. Quit listening to it and watching it and worrying about it. We're on a pilgrim journey. We don't live here. We don't belong here. We belong in a land far from here. Jesus is coming back to get us. It's not going to be very long. But he's coming back for a church that's moving. When he said, depart from me, I knew you not. We always talk about intimacy with the Lord. Yes, that means getting in the Spirit. You don't know him if you don't walk in the Spirit. I got to move when the Spirit says move. I brought a little prop today. I own my very own claw machine. If you want to come and visit me at home, you can play it. It lights up and plays music. I'm not going to do it because it might distract you. But of course, we've all seen the bigger versions in the stores, the restaurants. And through the years, it had become a vice to me that when I saw one, I wanted to play it. It happened because I would put the 2 quarters in. Now they're a dollar, most of them. And very often, I would move that claw, pick up a stuffed animal, move it over the slot, and win. Sometimes it took 4 quarters. Sometimes it took 8 quarters. But the reasoning was, if I went in the store and purchased that stuffed animal, it would cost me more than that. So I'm still winning. And I started feeling really good about my skill. I'm not athletic. I don't have too many skills in this world's viewpoint. But I was very good at the claw machine. I would pride myself, and you watch me. I'll show you how to win this. I would have groups of teenagers gather around that claw machine as I fed it money and precisely reach down and grab that stuffed animal only to have it move it to the slot and drop it just short of the winning slot. Well, just wait a minute. I got it where I want it. I even use scripture, I'm ashamed to say. I would always say, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. The text I use today. We should walk in the Spirit. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. So I was playing the claw in the name of Jesus. It would be common to walk up on me and have me standing there going, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'm sure the Lord was scratching his head, wondering what in the world I was thinking. I prided myself in the fact that I was very good at this game. And many years I played the claw. Until one day, I was in a Denny's, a very busy Denny's. And the man came in to fill the machine. I had been playing the machine and I'd moved that stuffed animal a couple of times. I was sure the third time was going to get it, and here he came. I'm sorry, ma'am, I've got to get in here. I've got to fill this. I said, well, let me ask you a question. You know, I noticed now that this claw doesn't always hook. Sometimes it's loose. So is this a defective machine? I'm just now noticing this. He laughed. He said, no, it's because it's not a machine of skill. It's because it's computerized. And they figure out how many people play this machine in a week's time. They do the math because they've got to make money. So the claw is set by a computer that this one particular one only wins every 22nd time. So you're feeding into something that you'll never win unless you happen to be the one there at the 22nd time. No matter how good you are, no matter how much skill you think you have, I found out it was rigged. We're living in the last hour of time. Sister Abby, will you come? Where people are finding out the devil has rigged their life. They're feeding into something that ends with nothing. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. And you can feed into worldliness, into worldly goods. You can think you have an IRA and a big savings account and nice vehicles, and you have a nice home, and you have everything just right, all the toys you desire. And you keep feeding into this life only to find out all along it's been rigged. That you really weren't going to win at all. The devil sold you a bill of goods. And what you thought was your achievement, in the end you find out it's not by might. It's not by power. It's nothing I can do. You see, might mean a collective group of people. Power represents an individual. That scripture covers it all. It's not going to be by you and 100 others, and it's not going to be by you alone. But it's going to be by my spirit. We're not going to get this done because we're so good, because we preach great, we sing great, we have a nice building, that we have a great pastor. We're not going to get it done because of all those things, all of our programs and our planning and our meetings. And not that we shouldn't do those things, that's not what I'm saying, but I think we err on the side of flesh. Let's do what we can do, when the Lord is saying, if you'll let me move, if you'll let the Spirit take control, if you'll let me sweep in every service, I'll fill, I'll heal. Can't fight spirit with flesh. We're in a spiritual battle. And then there are those little machines. I ran across one when I took my grands to play some games in a local pizza place that now is closed. They had some arcade games there. And I had given them each a little sack of tokens. They could have played skee ball. They could have played any number of games. But what I found was all of them, five little girls, lined up at one machine. Because they'd figured out that you're a winner every time. The only thing in that machine was little rubber duckies in all different shapes and colors. And before we left there, they each had a little bag full of rubber duckies. Because they found out, if I invest in this, I am going to get something back. Somebody today needs to be that childlike that you realize, if I'll just invest in this, if I'll let Jesus fill me, if I'll walk in the Spirit, I'm going to get a great return. That machine wasn't rigged. We got to let the Spirit move, church. We got to quit walking in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. I went to the grocery with my dad. I was a little girl. I could tell you what I was wearing because it was a monumental day. Had on my little jean skirt and a green plaid coat with big pockets. Had on my mittens. It's a winter day in Ohio. My dad gave me a quarter, like he always did. He said, "You can go get you some cookies or something out of the machine. Come right back." I was about 6 or 7. I went to the front of the store where the machines were, and I put the quarter in, and you know, it was the kind that you pulled the knob, and then what you chose dropped into the slot below. So when I pulled that knob to get my little chocolate cookies cream filled, all of a sudden that thing that turned, that dropped the cookies, kept going. And 3 packs or 4 dropped. And then all of a sudden I noticed that all the other ones were turning. Chips, peanuts, candy bars, they're all dropped. They're just dropping. Boom, boom, boom. I look around and I shove that little drawer open and I'm taking them out and I'm stuffing my jean skirt pockets and I'm stuffing my coat pockets and I'm bulging, you know, and I've got my coat button and I'm stuffing them down in my coat because I'm taking everything that dropped and I'm just having the time of my life. I'm laughing out loud when I feel a tap on my shoulder. And when I turn to look, there was what I thought was a police officer, probably a security guard, standing there. He said, "What are you doing?" I'm not doing anything. I put a quarter in there and all this stuff came out. I didn't do anything wrong. It just all came out. When I put my quarter in to get my cookies, everything fell. And you want me to put them back? And I'm crying because I'm afraid I'm going to be arrested. And then he smiled. Great big smile, laughter. With that smile, he said, "Everything you got out of there, you can keep. Just get on out of here." When Daddy and I left, there was an out of order sign on the machine. Wasn't much left in it. I've thought about that through the years and how it's just been that way serving the Lord. I've given him so very little, but the returns have been so great. I'm so glad that when I was 9 years old, I let the Holy Spirit move in my heart, rivers of living water. He's moved in every situation, every heartache, every pain, every trouble. I'm so thankful that as a little girl, I learned to listen to the voice of the Lord. What is he saying? Because he leads and guides us if we'll let the Spirit move. Will you close your eyes right where you are today and shut out everybody in the room and everything around you? Will you lift your face so the Lord can look right into your beautiful, handsome face he made? You don't have to hang your head in shame. Would you lift both of your hands and surrender? I know it's easier when you're in the altar, but just make an altar where you are. Because the Holy Spirit is moving right where you are right now. And then that last step is the hardest of all, but will you just open your mouth and confess that you need him? I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. I bind the spirit of fear right now and I lose faith. I bind doubt and unbelief and I lose truth. I bind confusion and distraction and I lose peace right now into your home. Now will you let the Spirit take over? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Will you talk in tongues right there in your living room, at the kitchen table, wherever you are? Will you let your children hear you talk in tongues? Lay your hand on their heads and let them speak in tongues right there. The Spirit's moving. Thank you, Jesus, for the moving of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I trust today that you have responded to the Word of God. The presence of the Lord is manifest in His Word. See the graphic. If you've received the Holy Ghost for the first time with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to hear from you. Please connect with us at office@cgcmadison.org or call 249-6445. Praise God. I can't begin to number the people I know who struggled with addictions, with various forms of addicting sin in their lives. And the day they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that all changed and they were set free. Praise God. That's available to you even still. Please keep seeking God. If you have not received what you need today, He is not far from any one of us if only we will feel after Him. His presence is real. His Word is true. And He loves us greater than any love that we would ever have known. Praise God. Our God is so great. We want to express our gratitude to those that have been with us online all over the state of Wisconsin, but also in Illinois, in Ohio, Missouri, Minnesota, Iowa, and Colorado. We're grateful for you having joined us. I really am grateful to Vicki Vernon for bringing us the Word of the Lord. There is a liberating anointing in the Word of God if you will claim it, if you will receive it, especially in this Word today. In Jesus' name, thank you for being with us. God bless you. In Jesus' name.